From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherie Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, we pay tribute to Schoolhouse Rock, the series of Saturday morning educational animated videos with catchy songs whose lyrics were intended to teach kids about grammar, math, and history. These songs may not have succeeded in teaching grammar, but the tunes stuck in kids' minds. Now there's a new CD featuring popular rock bands doing their versions of the Schoolhouse Rock songs. What most people who grew up with the series don't realize is that the songs were written and performed by great jazz musicians. We'll meet Schoolhouse Rock music director, jazz musician Bob Durow. Songwriter Dave Frischberg will perform a Schoolhouse Rock classic, which he composed, Just a Bill. And we'll meet Lou Barlow of the Deluxe Folk Implosion, which performs Just a Bill on the tribute CD. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. There's quite a Schoolhouse Rock revival going on now. In case you don't remember, Schoolhouse Rock was a series of educational animated videos with clever songs designed to teach kids about grammar, math, and history. The videos were broadcast Saturday mornings on ABC in between Scooby-Doo and Hong Kong Phooey from 1973 to 85. Now ABC shows old and new Schoolhouse Rock videos Saturday mornings. And there's a tribute CD featuring new versions of the songs performed by several popular rock bands like Blind Melon, The Lemonheads, Deluxe Folk Implosion, and Pavement, whose members watched Schoolhouse Rock when they were kids. Before we hear their new versions and some of the originals, let's meet the longtime music director of Schoolhouse Rock, Bob Durow. He composed and sang many of the originals. What the kids watching the series probably didn't know is that Durow is a wonderful, offbeat jazz composer, pianist, and singer. He told me how he got involved with Schoolhouse Rock.
Well, let's see. I had met the advertising people who concocted the idea. And my partner, Ben Tucker, in fact, wanted us to write a little advertising music. He's a bass player, Ben Tucker. Mm-hmm. So one day, this gentleman from McCaffrey and McCall Ad Agency said, "We're looking for a guy to put the multiplication tables to music." And Ben Tucker said, "My partner Bob Durow can do anything. He can put music to anything. Well, let's have him up." So I went up to meet the president of the agency, and it was his idea, and his name was David B. McCall of McCaffrey and McCall. He said, "My little boy can, you know, sing along with Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones, but he can't memorize his multiplication tables." So I had the idea, why not put the multiplication tables to rock music and call it Multiplication Rock? What do you think? And I said, "Well, yeah, that's pretty interesting." And he said, "Well, but don't write down to the kids." Well, I learned later that he had invited other Broadway songwriters to do this task, and they came up with a more simple doggerel type of songwriting, writing down, as it were, to children.
So when he said, "So what do you think?" What did you really think?
I thought, well, yeah, this this could be, you know, a limited idea. But when he added, "Don't write down to children," the hackles on my neck arose, and I got quite intrigued. And so I agreed to tackle it, and I spent about 3 weeks before I would let myself write the first song. I thought first, looked in math books, and since I picked my first title, it was called Three is a Magic Number, I even looked in magic and occult books for the reasons that three might be a magic number.
Did you get anything from those books that
I
you
did,
used
indeed.
In the song? What'd you get?
Mm-hmm. Well, that it was one of the magic numbers, and that it was embodied in certain things like the Trinity, the old sayings, the heart and the brain and the body, faith, hope, and charity, trinities of sorts. So I got mainly that, trinities. And, of course, I also was an admirer of Buckminster Fuller, so I was thinking of his triangle concept that makes construction so strong.
Well, why don't we pause here and listen to your version, the original version of Three is a Magic Number. Now, did you sing on this one?
Yes.
Okay, why don't we hear it?
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number.
Why don't we hear the Blind Melon version of Three is a Magic Number that's included on the new CD Schoolhouse Rock Rocks.
Three, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get three. Magic number in the past and the present, the future, faith and hope and charity in the heart and the brain and the body. Will give you three. It's a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand, and it takes three wheels to make a vehicle called the tricycle. Yeah. And every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You won't have to guess. That is three, can't you see that it's a magic number?
Well, when Ben Tucker told the advertising executive that you could set any lyric to music, what was he thinking?
Well, I think he was thinking of all those, I call them pop art songs that I wrote. You know, where you take an ordinary little piece of paper of information of some kind and you make an art song out of it.
I actually have your album of those songs, and it was recorded just a few years ago, but I had no idea you wrote these songs a lot earlier.
Yes, they go back to the 60s when I got the idea from Dan Greenberg.
So well, why don't we play one of these? This is like your weather forecast.
Great.
Becoming partly cloudy. It's a lovely melody, and of course the lyric is just the weather report, you know, that you'd get if you dialed the number on the telephone for the weather. And tell me what gave you the idea of setting this weather report to such a lovely melody.
Well, I was given the whole idea by Dan Greenberg and also his little collection. He actually had some artifacts that he picked up and laid on me. Some of them were actual scraps of paper, and there was a list of them. The laundry ticket, the traffic ticket, the U.S. weather report, things like that.
Let's hear the weather report.
Great.
Good evening. U.S. Weather Bureau forecast for New York City and vicinity. 5 o'clock p.m. Central Park readings. Temperature 46 degrees. Humidity 96%. Barometer 29.67, rising.
That's Bob DeRoe singing the weather forecast. It's featured on his album of pop art songs. And of course, Bob DeRoe has been the longtime music director of Schoolhouse Rock. Now, when the advertising executives ask you to set the multiplication tables to music, did they already have, had they already known they could broadcast it on ABC TV?
No, they were thinking of a phonograph recording and a book. The idea of television wasn't remotely in their heads.
So how did it get on TV?
Well, after some time of testing the songs and having the product called Multiplication Rock, they didn't seem to be getting anywhere in the book publishing world. So one of the executives up at McCaffrey & McCall said, you know, one of our clients is ABC Television. I mean, we do their advertising. Why don't we present it to them? And so Mr. Tom Yowie animated it. They did it at their own expense. It's very expensive to animate a 3-minute song. And they presented it as an animation film to ABC At which point, suddenly we were in that business instead of the book business.
Now, what I'd like to do is play one of my favorites, and it's My Hero Zero. So why don't we play your version and then play the new version on the new CD, Schoolhouse Rock Rocks, and the new version is performed by the Lemonheads. And, well, why don't we play them both? Here we go.
Oh, okay.
And Bob Dureau sings the first version, and of course he wrote the song as well.
My Hero Zero, such a funny little hero, but until you came along, we counted on our fingers and toes. Now you're here to stay, and nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why, we could never reach a star without you, Zero, my hero. How wonderful you are.
What's so wonderful about a zero? It's nothing, isn't it?
Sure, it represents nothing alone.
What place a zero after one? And you've got yourself a ten. See how important that is.
When you run out of digits, start all over again.
See how convenient that is.
That's why we love the 10 digits, including zero. You could count as high as you could ever go. Forever towards infinity.
No one ever gets there, but you can try.
10 billion zeros, from the caveman to the weirdos who invented you. They counted on their fingers and toes.
Or maybe some sticks and stones.
Rocks and bones.
Their neighbor's toes. Yeah, yeah. And nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why, you can never reach a star without you.
Bob Dureau, what do you think of the Lemonheads version of your song, My Hero Zero?
Well, I think it's really quite nice. And, you know, of course, I thought it went the way I went. I like my version better because I guess it goes with having written the song. Also, that's my daughter doing the second voice on My Hero Zero. She says, Zero? What's so great about a zero? But I love the way the Lemonheads did it, and... The whole idea of this new recording is very exciting to me as a songwriter.
My guest is Bob Dureau, music director of Schoolhouse Rock. There's a new tribute CD featuring rock bands performing songs from Schoolhouse Rock. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with jazz songwriter, pianist, and singer Bob Dureau, music director of Schoolhouse Rock. Now, do you think most of the people who grew up listening to your songs and most of the people in the bands now performing your songs on the new CD, do you think that they have any idea that these weren't written and performed by people in advertising agencies or theme houses, that they were written by you, an interesting and eccentric jazz performer, and that the other songs, some of the other songs on here, are sung by interesting and eccentric jazz performers?
Yes, well, I'm sure they didn't even think about such things. They grew up and they learned and they watched. They were a captive audience, one of my partners pointed out, George Newell. Because, you know, they were watching Saturday morning cartoons, and suddenly there would be this little 3-minute film, and they got hooked on them, and it actually did them some good. And as we went on in our productions, I kept bringing in some of my buddies from the jazz world. So it was a kind of a, a little bit of a underground movement there.
Yeah, well, you brought in Dave Frischberg, the singer and songwriter and pianist, trumpeter and singer Jack Sheldon, singer Blossom Deary.
Yes, Grady Tate,
mm-hmm.
A drummer who sings, or a singer who drums. Excuse me, Grady, I didn't mean that.
Now, I'd like to give our listeners who've been hearing your Schoolhouse Rock songs a taste of the other side of Bob Dureau. So I thought I'd actually play something that you recorded in concert on our show once that you've also recorded on your own records. And it's a song called I'm Hip, which you co-wrote with Dave Frischberg. You did the music, he did the lyric. And,
that's right.
And he also worked on some of the Schoolhouse Rocks. He did I'm Just a Bill. And so you recorded this on Fresh Air in 1982. This is Bob DeRoe, piano and vocals, I'm Hip.
Well, I'm a hip, I'm alive. I enjoy any joint where there's jive. I'm on top of every trend. Look at me go, vo-de-o-do. Bobby Dylan, he knows my friend. We're so hip, hanging out in Malibu. Well, I'm hip, but not weird. Like you notice, I don't wear a beard. Beards wear in, but now they're out. They had their day, now they're passé. Just ask me if you in doubt, cause I'm a hip. Now I'm deep, deep into Zen. Meditation and macrobiotics. And just as soon as I can, I intend to get into narcotics. I gotta try some of that stuff. Cause I'm cool, cool as a cuke. I'm a cart, I'm a cat, I'm a kook. I get so much out of life. Really, I do Scooby-Doo-Boo. One more time, play Mac the Knife. Let her rip. I may flip, but I'm hip.
This was just a fantastic recording. And I'm really proud that you did it on our show. So,
well, thanks.
In a self-serving way, I'll just get that
I've
in.
Gotten many reports from NPR fans saying, oh, we heard you doing I'm Hip on Fresh Air.
Oh, good.
That's
good.
Great. It's lasting.
Good.
Well, that's me. That's the other me. That's what I do. I go into smoky nightclubs and play the piano and sing.
What's the difference in the kind of tune that you'd write for one of your own jazz songs and for one of the Schoolhouse Rock songs?
Well, it's more in the beat than the melody. I might do anything for a Schoolhouse Rock song, but it's more apt to be a pop kind of beat instead of a jazz beat. I will tell you about Figure Eight. It was a beautiful little melody. Sounds like a sonata almost. And I used to play it around my house, and my late wife said, what is that melody? And I said, oh, I was thinking maybe it'd be an eight, a song about eight. And she said, oh, no, it's too good for Schoolhouse Rock. And I said, yeah, you're right. And I wrote a different one, and they didn't like it. So in a bit of desperation, I decided to finish it, and I wrote Figure Eight. And it starts out with this very placid melody. In the middle, it goes into a rock beat where they multiply by eight. But the outside was very dreamy. In fact, we recorded it with a cellist.
Would you sing a few lines of Figure Eight for us?
Figure Eight, that's double four. Figure Four, that's half of eight. If you skate, you will be great when you can make a figure eight. That's a circle that turns round upon itself.
When you were first getting started musically, you were one of the people who was chasing the bird, so to speak. I mean, you were really deep into Charlie Parker and wanted to emulate him. And you didn't sing very much because you were afraid that singing would seem corny or too commercial, too showbiz. And so it wasn't until I think you got to Paris in the 50s for a little bit that you actually started singing a lot.
Deep down in my heart, I did want to sing, and I didn't do it as much because I also wanted to be a bebop piano player, and you know, I would never say to one of my colleagues, let me sing one. On the other hand, there were occasions where the band got a job and the boss would say, does anybody in the band sing? And, you know, they say, yeah, the piano player. And, you know, I would do Route 66 or some rhythm tune just to show them that somebody in the band could sing. It was on the Paris job at the Mars Club in Paris that I had full sway and was able to call my own shots. I was the boss. I was working alone mostly, but I would call up the songs I wanted to sing, and I developed my style or my act sort of there.
What did you, what inspired your approach to singing? Is there a singer who you were emulating or?
There were several of them that, not that I emulated them, but I got inspired by them. By and large, they're the horn players who sing, like Louis Armstrong, and Dizzy Gillespie and Trummy Young, and then, of course, Nat King Cole, a piano player who sang. Musicians who sing inspired me more than... not that I didn't admire Sinatra or Tony Bennett or any of those guys, but when a jazz man would sing, that would be my thing, you know. I'd say, hey, I can do that.
No, Schoolhouse Rock is still on television Saturday mornings.
It came back after an hiatus.
So you've written new ones? Is that what we're seeing now, is new
Yes,
ones?
We are into, well, they're playing the old ones too, but we are into a new production. And they're about money, finances for young people. Money Rock, I'm afraid we called it. It goes on and on.
Why don't I play Conjunction Junction as featured on the new CD of rock bands paying tribute to Schoolhouse Rock? And we'll hear Better Than Ezra. Tell me about writing this song. Do you remember?
Well, I must say that my pal, George Newell, he's a musician as well as an art advertising director. He's one of the executives. George Newell gave me the title. We were starting Grammar Rock, and Miss Lynn Ahrens, who's also distinguished herself writing songs for Schoolhouse Rock, she started out the Grammar series. I was still busy with multiplication songs, and she did A Noun is a Person, Place, or Thing, and that was great. But George Newell one day to me said, why don't you tackle this conjunctions? I said, conjunctions? Yeah, those little words. He said, I got an idea for a title, Conjunction Junction. I said, great, I'll take it. So I went home and figured out it was sort of a railroad song, hooking up things like the railroad cars. And I made the song, and we went out to Hollywood to record it, and Dave Frischberg had just written his first song for America Rock at the same time, I'm Just a Bill. So we had a super session in L.A. with Jack Sheldon singing those two songs and me conducting the band and Frischberg playing piano. And we had an all-star jazz band in Hollywood playing Conjunction Junction and I'm Just a Bill. Very exciting.
Bob DeRoe, a pleasure to talk with you again. Thanks a lot. And I really enjoyed the new CD, and I hope you've been enjoying it too.
Well, it's always my pleasure to be on Fresh Air and NPR. Thank you, Terry.
Bob DeRoe is the music director of Schoolhouse Rock. The tribute CD, Schoolhouse Rock Rocks, is on Atlantic Records. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function? Hooking up words and phrases and clauses. Conjunction Junction, how's that function?
I got three favorite cars that get most of my job done.
Conjunction Junction, what's their function?
I got and but nor, that gets you pretty far. And, that's an additive, like this and that. But, well that's sort of the opposite, not this, but that. And then there's or, O-R.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by this and other NPR member stations, and by Borders, where the love of books and music sets the standard. Additional support comes from Harmony Books, publisher of Deepak Chopra's The Way of the Wizard, 20 Ways for Living a Magical Life. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, more Schoolhouse Rock. Jazz composer and pianist Dave Frischberg performs his Schoolhouse Rock classic, Just a Bill, and we meet Lou Barlow of the band Deluxe Folk Implosion, which performs the song on the new Schoolhouse Rock tribute CD.
Thank you.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're bringing together two different musical worlds on today's show, the world of the rock musicians who grew up watching Schoolhouse Rock, and the world of the jazz musicians who wrote and performed the Schoolhouse Rock songs. Schoolhouse Rock is the series of educational animated videos shown on ABC Saturday mornings, featuring catchy tunes with lyrics about grammar, math, and history. A new tribute CD features rock bands doing their versions of songs from Schoolhouse Rock. One of the classics from the series, which even made it into the film Reality Bites, is the song I'm Just a Bill. It was written by jazz songwriter, pianist, and singer Dave Frischberg, best known for his witty and sophisticated songs about contemporary life. The last time Frischberg performed on Fresh Air, he played I'm Just a Bill.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while you're waiting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. Least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill. That was sung by Jack Sheldon in the original recording of that. Listen to this, Terry. A couple of years ago in Portland, a friend of mine was in the hospital. I went to visit him, and I went to his room, and there was like, he was sharing a room with somebody else who must have been really sick because there was this big screen. I peeked behind the screen, and this other patient was ghastly pale, and he had all kinds of tubes stuck in every orifice. It looked like he was on his way out. So I was talking to my friend, and my friend says, well, what have you been doing? I said, well, I'm working for Schoolhouse Rock again. He says, gee, that thing you wrote years ago, I'm Just a Bill, I still hear that. And from behind the screen came the voice of this other patient, and he said, did you write I'm Just a Bill? And I said, yeah, I said to thin air, you know. And then from behind the screen, he began to sing it, the dying man singing my song, I'm Just a Bill. And I said, oh, God, it was more than I can handle.
How odd. What a strange experience.
Very odd. You know, you never know when. I kept saying, you're singing too much. Just do it conversationally.
You're still writing Schoolhouse Rock songs?
Yeah, they're back in action again. And I had three assignments recently during the past year, and we recorded them, and they're going to be on rotation. The new category is money management for children. And
which you know a lot about.
Oh, of course. And they immediately came to me for money management. And I wrote three songs for them during the past year. One is how to budget your allowance, and one is how to deal with banks about interest paying, or either paying interest or earning interest. And the most recent one I wrote, which we recorded in New York a couple weeks ago with me and Grady Tate doing the vocal, is called Walking on Wall Street. You know, they're teaching kids how to monkey around with stocks and... Well, you gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And remember the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. Now, the companies that manufacture things we use, like telescopes and videos and high-top shoes, are looking for investors such as me and you so we can own shares in the company, too, and so forth.
Yeah. That's terrific.
Dave Frischberg recorded last December on Fresh Air. His song, I'm Just a Bill, was sung by jazz trumpeter and vocalist Jack Sheldon on the original Schoolhouse Rock video. Let's hear that version.
Woo. You sure gotta climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, you're right, there ought to be a law. Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. and I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
The band Deluxe Folk Implosion performs I'm Just a Bill on the new CD, Schoolhouse Rock Rocks. My guest Lou Barlow is the lead singer of the band and does the voice of the Bill. He was in the popular alternative band Dinosaur Jr. and then formed the band Sebado. Some of his songs were featured in the film Kids. I asked Barlow how his band got to do I'm Just a Bill, one of the most popular of the Schoolhouse Rock songs.
We were just lucky enough to have that song left over after everyone had sort of picked through the songs they wanted to do. We had put it off for a long time actually doing it, and I thought that we'd missed the deadline, but it turns out that we didn't, and I'm Just a Bill was waiting there for us. So we were very lucky, because it's my favorite song.
Why is it your favorite?
It's the catchiest. It actually tells a story that I understand. I actually learned about the way a bill travels through the government and how difficult it is for something to become a law. It really taught me a lesson about how really difficult and complicated government is, which I think is a pretty valuable lesson as a kid.
Now, when you got to do Just a Bill for the new CD, what did you think of in terms of, you know, rearranging it and reinterpreting it? What kind of sound did you want it to have?
I wanted the bill to sound really irritable, and I wanted it to be, like, kind of punky, you know, do-do-do, like, just make it more aggressive. And also, there was one part where I wanted it to slow down a bit, where he's talking about waiting in committee, just slow down the beat, make it more drug out a little bit.
Why don't we hear your version of Just a Bill?
Okay.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
I guess. I got this far, but when I started, I wasn't even a bill, I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman and he said,
"You're right, there ought to be a law."
And he sat down, he wrote me out, and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
But I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I got as far as Capitol Hill.
Did you watch Schoolhouse Rock a lot as a kid?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All the time. It was between all of the terrible 70s cartoons. It's probably one of the only really redeeming things about Saturday morning television for me.
Now, what did you like about Schoolhouse Rock? Was it the melodies?
Yeah. Well, especially I'm Just a Bill. You know, just the melodies. And also the cartoons are kind of cool looking. You know, it's colorful and I like the voice of the bill, too. The guy who sings that just has an incredible voice.
Well, that's Jack Sheldon. Do you know his work?
No, not at all.
He's a great jazz trumpeter and also singer. You want me to play you a little bit of him?
Sure.
Okay, why don't we hear Jack Sheldon singing This Love of Mine?
This love of mine goes on and on. Though life is empty since you have gone, you're always on my mind. Though out of sight, it's lonely through the day, but all the night I cry my heart out. It will surely break, since nothing matters, just let it break. I ask the sun and the moon, the stars that shine, what's to become of it, this love of mine.
Lou, what do you think?
Yes, he has so much texture in his voice.
Yeah. No, he really does.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's so interesting to me that all these really interesting jazz performers were behind Schoolhouse Rock, and I'm sure that their other work wasn't known to the people who grew up watching Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, not at all. I had no idea. I figured they must be incredibly talented and have careers, but I had, you know, no idea.
When you were watching TV Saturday mornings, did your parents give you a hard time about it?
No. We were usually watching it while they were asleep anyway. They'd be sleeping in on Saturdays. We would get up really, really early, like 7 o'clock, make a huge bowl of Cheerios, just sit down, watch whatever was on TV. Just watch it, just to be watching it, you know. Then around 12 o'clock, go outside, run around. It's the usual Saturday, just part of the Saturday morning ritual.
If you had kids, do you have any idea what kind of music you'd want to play for them?
No, I guess I would just be playing whatever I would usually play and see what they responded to. I kind of hope if I would have kids that I would make music for them. Like my dad used to kind of make up silly songs. You know, when we would go to bed, he would sing us songs that he would make up. I always liked that a lot, you know.
Was your father a musician?
No. No, he can sing, but he's not a musician. He doesn't really write songs. He just loves to sing and whistle.
Do you remember any of the songs he did for you?
He would sing one song to my little sister every night where he just sang like, "Everybody's sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. Everybody's sleeping, sleeping tonight. The birds and the trees and the da-da-da. Birds in the skies and the butterflies." Yeah, something like that. It was really cute. You know, he just would just go through all these animals and how they were sleeping. And my little sister would fall asleep to that. It's pretty sweet.
It is. My guest is Lou Barlow. His band, Deluxe Folk Implosion, is featured on the new CD, Schoolhouse Rock Rocks. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Lou Barlow of the band Deluxe Folk Implosion. The name of your group that performs Just a Bill is Deluxe Folk Implosion, also
right.
The group that performs on the soundtrack from the film Kids. How'd you come up with that name?
Well, originally it was supposed to be a parody of the John Spencer Blues Explosion, which are sort of our peers, you know, indie rock band. And John and I just thought it would be really funny if we were the Folk Implosion, because which is actually a really good name, because it kind of really reflects our music, you know. It's sort of, or at least solo, we play like acoustic-based confessional music, you know, so it's like this folk implosion. And then the Deluxe Folk Implosion, Deluxe is Bob Fay and Mark Peretta, so when they play with us, we were the Deluxe Folk Implosion. And it kind of worked out. DFI, it sounded kind of like punk rock, you know. It kind of reflects the kind of music we play. It's just, it started out as kind of a joke, but it really sticks with me. I just love the name, the Folk Implosion.
So what was the music you first started playing?
It's just really personal.
Mm-hmm.
Folk music. It was really influenced by punk rock. But it wanted to take away all the sort of nastiness of punk rock and make it something really real to me, you know, very personal and basic.
Why did you want to take away the nastiness of punk rock? That's what attracted a lot of people to it, yeah.
I liked, the thing that attracted me to punk rock was the sound, you know, just the texture of the guitars and the speed of the drum beats, you know, it was just so energizing to me, and still is, you know. To me, like, punk rock is really fun, just the tempo, but the lyrics just seemed really, you know, I don't know, I also really grew up listening to, you know, 70s easy listening music like Bread and James Taylor and Jim Croce. I just wanted to fuse the two, you know, somehow. Just that's the music that's really, if you dig deep inside of me, that's what's there, you know.
What, when you're writing personal songs, like, what are some of the subjects you've written about? What makes them really personal for you?
Well, I've written a lot of songs about just my relationship with my wife, you know, our early relationship, the all of the, just all of the mental, all the mental anguish that I had, you know, just all of the really emotional issues, all of the things that drive me nuts that I just never thought I could say out loud, I would say in songs, you know. And I mean, that's especially with songs that I wrote early on, you know, like in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a really difficult time when you're trying to really reconcile your relationships with people and how you're going to relate with people and trying to figure out whether you're a total jerk or not and whether someone else is a, just trying to figure that out, whether you're a jerk or whether they're a jerk or whether no one's a jerk, you know, whether it's just the way it is.
Let me play one of the songs that you did for the soundtrack of the film Kids, and this is Natural One. Tell me how you got the assignment to do this and how you went about writing the songs.
We were asked initially by Harmony Korine, the screenwriter, and he just kept coming to shows that I was playing with Sabadell and Solo and kept saying he was going to make this really radical movie. And eventually he hooked up with Larry Clark, and they actually did make the movie, and they just kept me in mind the whole time.
Was it different to be writing the songs for a film than it is to just be writing for your own band? I mean, to be writing for your own band in the context of your own record and your own show.
Yeah, because whenever I write my own songs, I really feel like I have to write about myself. You know, that's like a real thing. I can never, if I'm writing my own song, I can't sort of assume a character. It just doesn't feel right. So when we had done a song like Natural One, I really did put myself in the place of a character in the movie. You know, I was pretending I was like a teenage kid, which is really funny because I've always really sort of disliked popular music because I always thought it was older people pretending to be younger people. And I always felt really condescended to, you know, when I was little and stuff. And it's so funny that now the one song that I actually did that where I was assuming I was a teenager, it became our, like, the biggest hit that I've ever had. Or possibly ever will have, you know. I thought that was kind of ironic.
It is. Give me a sense of what kind of pop made you feel condescended to when you were a teenager.
Just like heavy metal, Kiss. Even like, you know, 50s music in a way. You know, like all sort of classic 50s music is all written by, you know, very, you know, intelligent songwriters trying to get into the, sort of condescending to this teenage mindset, you know. Always was kind of appalled by that, and only recently does it actually kind of entertain me, you know, that I think it's kind of interesting, and I'm into the idea of songwriting craft now a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, I mean, that's why I really liked punk rock, because it was about the people who were singing the songs were the people who were writing the songs, and they were singing about what they were thinking and about just emotional politics, and which is, like, I guess what I was trying to describe before, you know, just emotional politics, just how complex just everyday relationships are.
Well, why don't we play Natural One?
Okay.
From the soundtrack of Kids. Folk Implosion, and my guest Lou Barlow is the leader of the band, and we heard him singing. He wrote the song.
With my friend John Davis.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you.
He never gets credit. I mean,
the heck with him.
Folk Implosion and DFI are, I mean, they're very much collaborations with my friends. You know, I'm not totally responsible for it all.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lou Barlow with his band Deluxe Folk Implosion is featured on the new CD Schoolhouse Rock Rocks on Atlantic Records. Rhino will soon bring out a CD of the original version of the songs, and they'll release videos of Schoolhouse Rock. There's also a new Schoolhouse Rock book. This is Fresh Air. Fathers and sons bond in many ways. Dagoberto Gilb is going to tell us about a recent rite of passage he shared with his teenage son.
My son Ricardo is 13 years old. That's the age when so many things matter. He wants to be looking good. The haircut not too little and not too much. The pomade to furrow and shine and hold back and down right. He wants the shoes to have a squeak to them. The shirts ironed, tails out. The pants new and baggy. He just got braces. He wanted them as much as his mom and I did. He's looking up the road, and he's seeing pretty girls walking. It's the age when music first begins to matter, when that sound means, when it separates who knows from who doesn't. Lots out here in El Paso still listen to the oldies, Benny King, the Four Tops, Mary Wells. But mostly that's boyfriend and girlfriend music for those nighttime dedications. For La Cindy, Thinking So Much of You Esta Noche from Edgar. Like kids everywhere, my son's into watching MTV and learns what music he likes there. It's the hit sound heard in every city, even by chicanitos like my boy. Alanis Morissette, Hootie and the Blowfish, Ace of Base, Collective Soul, Natalie Merchant. He works hard following this music too, sorting and combining his favorite singles from the radio, his and his friend's handful of CDs and tapes, into cassettes he can listen to on a Walkman. I had told Ricardo that the time would come when he and I would go off somewhere alone together, no mom or big brother, and more recently I promised him that the next time I got to stay in New York City, I'd fly him out for a few days. Last month I kept my word. We did all the things you're supposed to, ride taxis and subways, foot cruise the Soho and the Lower East Side, eat Jewish food at Katz's Deli, boat to the Statue of Liberty and climb to the top of the Crown. Elevator up the Empire State Building, spiral the Guggenheim for abstract modern art, walk and walk the Metropolitan for Egyptian mummy tombs and armor from the Middle Ages, and a quick stare at Cézanne and Van Gogh. I wanted us to hear music together. I love nightclubs, no less now than I did as a boy. I was 14 when I heard the Yardbirds on Sunset Boulevard and a world opened. So I imagined a rite of passage, my son and I sharing live music, real music, the first time for him. I told him we'd try, though he shouldn't count on it because I wasn't sure about clubs and liquor laws and minors. One night, down some nearby stairs, I heard a stylishly flat woman's voice, dissonant but sweet with youth, and a punky folk electric guitar. We'd just eaten, gotten too much food, were carrying a doggy bag, but why not? The door was open. They were warming up, setting up the stage, testing sound. She had shoulder-length platinum hair, flowery clothes, while the guitar player dressed studded punk and swung his pale head with Neil Young hair. We went in. It was a small nightclub, the classic, black walls and ceiling, a purple curtain, blue lights on one side, red on the other. It was very small, an intimate club. Soon another band warmed up, another woman lead singer, her cropped hair so silvery it was white in the stage light, and black, black, black clothes. Tables in the club weren't even set up yet, but there was a big patent leather couch right in front of the bar, the best seat in the house, and Ricardo and I took it. We settled in and relaxed. Finally, the club manager came around asking the few people inside, Are you in a band? Are you with a band? Around us, but not a word to us. Weren't we visible? The most obvious of all? A 13-year-old boy and his big old dad sitting on the only couch? He shut the door, pocked with band and instrument and studio stickers, snapped no at people who pounded to come in too early. He set up tables inches from us, slid chairs underneath them so close to me I had to move my legs. And even then he didn't make eye contact with me or my son. The sound man, New York to the bones, in purple spandex, gold jewelry, long and frizzy brown hair, and tinted shades from ear to ear, looped around us back and forth. The bartender wandered in, started setting up behind us. Ricardo and I whispered. He sat close to me. Years earlier, I showed him and his brother how to sneak into Dodger Stadium. I could explain the how and why of that, but not this. Now, I said, not until they ask us to leave. The nightclub doors opened to cover charges. We sat comfortably. He drank Sprite. I had a gin and tonic. The shortest person there, he went next to the stage when he wanted, came back. We stayed for hours, and when he was ready to leave, he grabbed the doggy bag, and we excused our way through the hippest crowd.
Dagoberto Gilb is a writer living in El Paso. Fresh Air's senior producer is Danny Miller. Our Schoolhouse Rock tribute was produced by Amy Sallet. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross. Saturday is the 108th anniversary of the birth of Irving Berlin. One of the interviews we'll feature tomorrow is with Berlin's biographer, Lawrence Berggren. So we'll close today's show with Berlin's song, Remember, performed by Billie Holiday.
Remember the night you said, I love you. Remember you vowed by all the stars above you. Remember we found a lonely spot, and after I learned to care a lot, you promised that you'd forget me not, but you forgot to remember.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.